Welcome to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you so much for joining and allowing us to share our heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. Before we jump into today's discussion, I told you guys in the last few episodes that our goal for the month of June was to reach 1,000 downloads. Well, I'm thankful to say that we have done that. So thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to those that have shared the podcast with your family and friends. That means a lot to us. And you guys are helping us reach others for the kingdom of God. So to jump into today's discussion, this is actually the biggest group we have had at the table thus far. So I'm excited about how our conversation will go today. But I'm going to turn it over to our pastor, Brother Crosswhite, and let him introduce the rest of our guests.
What an amazing day we've had here in Nacogdoches. And I want to welcome special guests with us today, Brother and Sister Jason Ashley from somewhere in Louisiana called Gina area. We're so glad that they're with us today.
Yes, sir.
Good glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're excited in Nacogdoches. We've been having a children's crusade. It's been amazing. And so today we want to jump into this time of discussion with Brother and Sister Ashley. We've met Brother and Sister Ashley through Bible quizzing, and it's been amazing to see their heartbeat and their love for children. And today, before the podcast, we were just talking about the heartbeat of both of them. And so today, I want to aim at your heart, Brother and Sister Ashley, and just introduce yourself, introduce your heartbeat today, and let's just go from there.
Well, my name's Brother Jason Ashley. I grew up in the sticks outside of Gene, Louisiana, and been able to be involved in church all my life. And I got the Holy Ghost at 10 years old, and I haven't looked back since. I've been able to be involved in many areas, but children's ministry seems to be where my heartbeat is, and I want to be here as much as I can till Jesus comes back. My beautiful wife, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so thankful that God has put me where I'm at to be able to touch children, to reach children. And I want to see every child that I can, that we can see, get the Holy Ghost and put this love in their heart for Jesus.
Brother and Sister Ashley, there's a targeting that you have from your heart to aim at these children. We talked about it a while ago, but we want to talk about this to our listeners today, to our audience that is listening to this. We want something to happen, and we want to transfer something, your heartbeat, to them and challenge them. This is more than just us talking about us, but this could be contagious today. If we could strike the match and touch another heart, we've done something. So your target has been about children, and not just having children's church, not just having children's ministry. During COVID, we noticed that when nobody could have services in Louisiana, we had church here in Nacogdoches, but y'all had in Louisiana a lot of problems. But you went way above and beyond to try to reach children. And we sensed this, we seen this, we heard about this, and the evidence is there. Tell us about this. Tell us about your heartbeat. And I want you to strike the match, touch the wick of the heart today with your heartbeat.
Well, I hope I can get it across and get everybody. I believe if everybody could kind of get the concept of what I see in our children and the impact that they're having in the kingdom of God or could have in the kingdom of God, I believe we'd have a whole lot more people involved in children's ministry. Basically, I would like to be able to, every child that I come across and every young person I'm able to kind of get my hands on in some way and be able to influence, to be able to make some kind of difference in their life, because I feel like it's our responsibility to help point them in the right direction. And our children are full of energy and they're going to go some direction. And it's up to us to kind of point them in that right direction so that when they're old and when they're in their adult life, that they're, there's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many things that could happen in their life that that they have to deal with. And if some more people would get involved with our children and keep them pointed in the right direction and keep the world out of their life, that when they grow older, they won't have that gnawing scars, that the shame and regret and the things they have to overcome to be involved in society, much less the kingdom of God, just because somebody connected with them and reached out and made a difference in their life and pointed them in the right direction. I think that's very important. I think we all have that opportunity if we have any access to children of any kind.
I see this as, you know, watching you and Sister Ashley together, one of them, in our children's crusade. And in time past, I've seen the same thing. I've seen both of you work together in harmony with that vision, with that burden. Sister Ashley, can you tell us your heartbeat as well?
Children, I've always connected with children. We have 11 grandchildren. So children are a big part of our lives. We have 5 children. So children are a part of us. And it's just natural for me to connect with children. And I've seen our children go through some things. And I want to help everyone that I can. I know I can't reach them all, but to be able to reach as many as I can is something that drives me, that pulls at me, that I just want to help them. And it breaks my heart to see these kids that go to homes that are broken and shattered, and they don't know what, you don't know what they are going through and face. There's things that I faced in my childhood that has put that in me, that to help people, to help these kids, to try to reach them.
It's very evident in both of your, the way that you conduct yourself, the way you reach to children, you get on their level, but yet you bring them up to a higher level. And I've noticed, brother, and you have used a character. You've come up with a character, and I'll let you introduce the character. And so I want you to introduce the character today like you did in Children's Church or Children's Crusade for us this week.
Well,
you can use the voice and all.
Okay. Let me see if I can find him. Brother Rubber Bandit, are you around? Whoa, what's going on here? Who, me? I'm the rootin' this tootin' this cowboy. North, south, east, west of Walmart. Well, I can shoot a fly off a can, I can, from 100 yards with just one hand. Oh, I'm so good, no man can stand it. They call me the Rubber Bandit. And the Rubber Bandit was birthed with that in mind, to help point children in the right direction. But I feel like children are in our hands, and they're being stretched with this potential that one day we're going to have to release them. They're going to be going out in the world. And if we're pointed in the wrong direction, if they're swayed by this world and what the world is pulling them and drawing them towards, then it's going to be catastrophe. But if we can get our hands on them and help point them in the right direction, because they can't see which way to go, but we know, we've been there, and we know that little things in life help curb and help shape our future selves and personalities and what we can become in the kingdom of God. And I want to be somebody that makes a difference.
And sister, what is your title?
Mama Bandit.
Mama Bandit.
Whoa.
Well, Mama Bandit comes through as well. And it is amazing to watch them as a team work together. And of course, there's another character that's with them as well. Who's that character?
Oh, you're talking about Boots. Now, Boots is my horse. I mean, Boots, you don't mind Boots. Now, Boots, he's my horse. Now, he kind of looks like a sawhorse, but he's a real horse. But he's got a rubber boot for a head. And I call him Rubber Boots, you know, because he got a rubber boot in his head. But he's always helping get me out of things and keeping me pointed in the right direction.
Now, where did you come up with this, brother?
Oh, just
tell us about the dawning of that moment.
Well, I've just always kind of been involved in children's ministry, Sunday school, and back early 90s, I believe, I would do children's church inside the big church, and it was up my responsibility to come up with something every Sunday night. So I would just try different characters, try different things, and Rubber Bandit kind of stuck. And he's somebody that I could take through and jump into and help use him to make a point. And the kids really, they connect with him. And I feel like, too, one of my, I guess, objects and goals in this life in children's ministry is I want to see our young people be what God wants them to be in their own, I guess it's kind of a topic here, but their own gender and their own way of, boys need to be boys, girls need to be girls, and boys need to be, you know, he's a rough and tough cowboy. He's always getting into something. He's trapping, or he's riding his horse across. He gets dusty and he gets dirty, and boys need to get in the middle of all that. And Mama Bandit, she's a nurturer, and she's always cooking for me. And we're trying to create characters that will be easy for them to follow and would be, you know, fit the bill, where that, you know, there's so much out there that's soft and watered down and kind of feminine, even when it comes to children's stuff. And we want to get some masculinity back in our children. We need more men in the Sunday school. We need some fathers, and we need some men. We need that influence. And that's another goal of mine.
It's beautiful, because it seems that the lines are blurred today in a lot of lives. And we need a clear distinction of drawing boundaries and lines and purposes in these lives. Identity is very important in the kingdom of God. And we're thankful for what I've seen in your ministry. And we were talking just a little bit ago, and I want you to share with us. We talked about this heritage of our children and bringing them to the glory of God's heritage and training up. And I'll let you go into the detail in just a moment about what you talked about today about training up. And I mentioned to you a while ago, we've got one opportunity with these children, one opportunity, and we better give it our best. And as a parent, we've got to build that runway long enough for them to take off, but it should be long enough for when they have to land, that they have a safe landing. The home needs to be home. If our children become a prodigal son or daughter, that the lights of home could be burning, that they could find a safe home, a home that still lives for God, believes God, parents that still love the kingdom of God, and that the calf is in the stall being fatted and the robe is ready for that prodigal to come home. But more than that, to teach our children how to fly in this hour, how to represent the King of Kings. And you talked about today, again, about training up. Kelly, would you share with our audience about that?
Well, my personal testimony, being involved in Sunday school for so long, I'm just one of those kind. I want whatever I'm in to be to work. I want it to be effective. I want it, whatever it took, I wanted for me and my methods to make a difference. And I just seen time after time, it don't matter how many times me and the Rubber Bandit and Boots, you know, come across with a perfect lesson, that the children would just kind of fade off and go the way of the world and be lured by the lights of this world. And I just done some personal study, and I done some looking and thinking, actually, before I come to Nacogdoches this time. And I said, God, I know your word says if you'll train up a child in the way it should go, they're old, they won't depart. And I believe that, you know, but what about this? We're looking at this. And so I just dug a little deeper, and I said, I want to know how to train. I want to know what that word train stems from and the root of it and what the application was. And I dug till I found this perfect application, and it's changed the way that I look at training a child. And the pulpit commentary that I found that word translated from, basically, I don't remember the Hebrew word for it, but it was to masticate, which was the word that they used, which basically means to chew up and to make palatable for a child to be able to digest and to eat and to get inside of them. So what this writer was really saying, it's up to the parents. It's up to us as adults with children to take this word and not just throw it out there. Don't just take the bread of life and say, here it is, eat it, because this is the way. You got to get this inside of you, and this is how we get out of here. But it's up to us to take that word and to get the pieces that are hard to swallow and to chew it up and to get it to where they can take it. And when it gets inside of them, they will fall in love with it. It will make a difference in their life. But they're going to come across some gristle, and they're going to come across some hard things. It's hard to swallow sometimes. That's when mom and daddy needs to sit down with them, and they need to chew it up, and they need to break it down to make sure they get it in there, and not just toss it to the side and say, well, we can't take that. It's not something that we can handle. But to work with it and to train up a child, I think the writer really wanted us as parents to sit down and to work at this word, to get it to where they can ingest it, and it make a difference in their life, because it will. When it gets inside, it's going to make a big difference.
Today, when you were ministering, you made some emphasis in a great, tremendous move of the Holy Ghost we had today. But there was an emphasis that you began to make, and I've watched you today as the Lord began to use you. And basically, you talked about the attention. These kids that don't have an attention, everything's distracting and getting and targeting their attention. But when you teach them how to tune in to God, we've got to sharpen our kids. We got to shape in our kids. But we got to get them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and body. And I feel that the detriment of our church today is old babies. Old babies always are whining and crying, and you have to carry an old baby. Old babies are the detriment. But if we could get our babies, our children, to grow up in God, to train them up, to get a hunger in them, to give them the truth, a love of the truth, and it starts at day one. And we need to get the pacifiers out of their mouth. Just having good church is not good enough. We talked about that a while ago. We need to put them into the atmosphere every service where they could tap in, that they could know the power of God. And we have a lot of things that babysit our kids. We don't need anything babysitting our kids. We need to teach them. They need to love our elders. They need to love our brothers and love the ministry. Love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Their attention needs to be stretched, and that appetite needs to be increased, a love for God. And I see this. I heard this today. How beautiful your illustrations that you've used today. And we've seen that. I feel that nurturing our kids and growing up our kids is very important. I heard that heartbeat today from you, and it's encouraged me. And we're thankful for what God is doing. And you use the rubber bandit. Of course, Mama Bandit has come through. But I've seen the similitude of your burden in your wife today, even praying for one of our little bus kids, a little girl just weeping. And right there where the Spirit of the Lord is all over her, the little girl was bending over in the power of God. And I looked at your wife's face, and she was weeping because she realized that this little kid has nobody probably. And we're giving her an opportunity to know the King of Kings. This is not just for our babies. This is for whosoever. And I appreciate your burden. Sister, kindly share with me. You're the same way. What's on your heart today about nurturing our kids?
Well,
come on, Mama Bandit, you got it.
This stuff makes me very nervous. like I said before, there's lots of stuff that I see in kids, and I pick up on stuff that it's not me. The Lord just brings stuff to me, and I see it, and I just gravitate towards kids that need something, and I can feel it. So I just draw to them, and it does my heart. It touches my heart so much when I see a child they don't know what people from the world, they come in, they haven't heard all this. They don't know how apostolics do things. They haven't grew up in it. And whenever you see them, they're weeping and crying because it's God, it's His Spirit that they have felt. And that right there gets me, and I was like, God, You know what You're doing, and You know where this child is. I can't go home with this child, but You can. You can be there for this child. My job is to pray for this child, to pray for all these children. And He's the one that goes home with them and keeps them and draws them and brings them back to church to give them another opportunity to be there in it, to get the Holy Ghost.
Basically, you're both in, you're trying to put something in their mouth.
Right.
To stir up an appetite, to ignite an appetite.
Yeah.
That once you have tasted of this truth, there's no other taste like it.
That's right.
There's no substitute.
It's addictive.
And we want to give them that opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Good. That's right. I feel like it's our job to create an atmosphere that they can step over into. Now, we can't do it for them. And that was kind of my point today. And I used the 10 lepers. The 10 were all heard the word of God, and they were all cleansed. But the one came back with some attention of his own accord. The Jesus approached the 10, but only the one approached Jesus again. And it's up. We try to get in our children's mind. We can bring Jesus. We can create an atmosphere, and they can be touched. But every day when we're not around, when mom and daddy and the Sunday school teachers are not there, they can reach and touch Jesus. And that's what makes you whole. That's what keeps you. That's what will carry you through. It's whenever they initiate that touch, and it will get inside of them that way. That'll make them whole. And Jesus wants their attention so much. He wants all of us to initiate that.
Jesus, whenever I was, when I got the Holy Ghost, there was such a deep hunger in me. And I fell so much in love with Jesus. He was my world, my everything. And I've prayed that for my children, all five of my children, bringing them up. I would pray, God, put a love for You in their heart. Because I knew if they had that love, they would stick and they would stay. And so I pray that for all the kids, put the love, let them get to that place where the love is so deep that they will forsake everything else but Him.
And it's tough nowadays because the world is so, they're the target. They're the ones that the world is after because they have so much potential. And the devil knows if he can get them that the church is going down. But we know if Jesus ever gets his hook in them, if they can make that mind up to get inside it and stay, that, you know, we're going to come out on top. But they are a target. They are a target today. And we can't compete with Hollywood and all the things that the world has. We don't have all the millions and the lights and all that. But Jesus has so much more than the lights of this world and the drawing of this world. And we just want to create that opportunity for the children to taste it, like you said, and see and know. And they won't depart if they ever get it in them.
That taste cannot be duplicated.
That's right.
There's a lot of things that has a similar taste. Pleasures of sin has a taste. But truth has a distinction. Truth has a taste that is beautiful because with that taste is a revelation. Something that doesn't leave. And it's amazing. You could taste something as a child. And you go through it and through life. And it's almost like you're tasting and it brings you back to grandma's house.
It is. I told my wife today, I was eating something. I said, this has a nostalgia to it to me. I actually Googled it. In 1978, they came out with Reese's Pieces. And every time I eat something that's similar to that, I have a nostalgia to that taste. And I thought that was really neat. But that's so true.
We must keep them to that place where they remember and keep that dear to their hearts. My son-in-law was in the military. He was in the war, and his story was his dad used to send him things. And by the time it got to my son-in-law, Chad, he'd open the package. Instead of it being candy and all this other stuff that are from home, his daddy sent him some hay. And when he opened it up, it's like the smell of that hay to remind him home.
Yeah.
And to remind him, oh, God, let us never lose
That's right.
that sense of appreciation yes, and sir. Treasure for the things of God. Let us not take our treasure and garage sell it. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Let this never become trash to us.
Right.
Let the smell still be certain and distinct. The taste be acute in our mouth and wonderful to us.
It's the only thing it'll satisfy.
And every time God touches us, it changes us. And His touch, we can never stay the same. So every child that comes and they feel God, He's touching them. He's changing them each time He touches them.
Yeah. We've all heard it. There's a God-shaped hole inside of all of us. And that's the only thing that'll fill that hole. We could cram all kind of stuff in it. And the world tries, but the only thing it's going to satisfy is Jesus.
Well, today has been awesome. Our Children's Crusade, thank you for coming to Nacogdoches, to this old town, the oldest town in Texas. But we're so glad what we have felt, that old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost, that today we experience even one of the mothers that was there. The Spirit of the Lord fell on her. And it's amazing. When you get down on the level of children, it affects everybody. And anybody could come into the presence of God. And what a beautiful thing we've seen today. Anything else that you would like to say today, Brother Sister Ashley?
We love this church, and we love this people, this pastor. And we've met them and fell in love with them. And it's just a connection with these people. They are really, really special. And we love y'all.
And in conclusion today, that one that's listening and that will listen to this podcast today, that maybe is struggling with something with children or with even their walk with God, trying to help somebody, you feel worn out, weary. Today, if you could give them one bit of encouragement, both of you, brother, what would it be today to that person?
You never know what you do. You think it may not make a difference, but if you put out some effort in a child's life, they'll remember. I see so many times, I don't remember the kids' names. I don't remember where I even met them, but they'll come to me, and I'm like a superhero to them, you know? But anybody can help direct a child in the right direction, and every little thing helps because the world's pulling. So get involved. It makes a huge difference. Get them outdoors. There's so much you can see in nature and apply it to God. There's so many life lessons and so many core memories that can be made that'll keep them in years to come. We just got to get our hands in right in the middle of them.
And I want to say that, you know, sometimes our children go wayward. I have children that's gone wayward, but I trust Jesus because I put in them what's supposed to be there. And they know, and I can trust Him that He's going to bring them home.
Amen.
Beautiful. Well, today has been a great thing, and we want to just encourage that one today that may listen to this and let you know that we have one opportunity to reach people. Let's do it. The other day, walking by a plant that was dehydrated, drooping over, I looked at it, and it was like that plant was screaming, water me, water me, water me. It began to get my attention. And I can remember going and start watering that plant. And I gave that plant some attention. The next morning, I looked and that plant all of a sudden perked up. But it was still saying, water me, water me. I watered it again. And I walked out. That plant was, standing up better. The next day I pulled up. That plant was still saying, water me, water I watered it, gave it attention, and it's amazing that plants survived.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people are saying that today. Water me. I just need a little attention. But give me the ability to know the attention of God is on my life. Teach me how to tap in. Teach me to know this truth. Water my life. Pour yourself in me. And I'm thankful today that in watering people, there could be the seed that is produced from their life that would change other people. Thank you, Brother and Sister Ashley, for making a difference in lives. And we give God the praise for you. And I thank God for people like you that still love truth and love souls. God bless you.